Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Trade just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adriana Soros.
Oh boy, round two is done. Seen better days, as Pete Murray once famously said, mate. It wasn't good. You're listening to the Dual Position Podcast. I'm your host, the SC Whisperer Coach of the Ramsey Rehabs, joined as always by SC Adrianosaurus, Coach of the Rapana Bananas. I'll get that eventually, mates.
You'll get it eventually, Rapana Rama.
Mates, look, round two. It was rough. Full disclosure: we're recording this much earlier. Normally we do this live on a Tuesday, but this is being recorded on Sunday night because I am away all week. So some things we say in this preview, you know, we'll probably be out of date, but we're going to preview round three the best we can. We'll touch on our round two wrap-ups, you know, in due course, but there's been a little bit of happenings amongst the leagues. Unfortunate for Sean Russell, he is out for the season, you know, just battled back last year after having a very early season-ending injury. It's not good for him. He was looking really good, looked good in the trials. I think he was sort of first choice, and then, some injuries rubbed him out. Brandon Smith, after his rib injury in round two, is expected to be out for round three. We'll touch on him when it comes to trading, you know, in due course. Corey Oates, after Scott Drinkwater shoulder collected his jaw, it looks like he's going to be out with 8 weeks with a broken jaw. That would have to be a painful injury. A broken jaw would not tickle.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a broken jaw. It stung, actually, a lot. And just even when you're eating now, 10 years later, it clicks when you eat. It never goes away. Cheekbone wasn't comfortable either, but, where he's had his break, that's uncomfortable and takes a long time to recover.
Yes, and KP, look, no word. At time of recording, there's no word of the severity of a concussion, obviously, but it's his fourth one in 10 months. I'm no doctor, but I would suspect he is going to be out for quite a while. So, fingers crossed for KP. Hopefully, he, you know, sorts out the issues that he's having, and we can get him back on the field. Let's move into the 10 things that we learnt from the week gone by. The Penny Panthers, Ado, the bye could not have come at a better time for Nathan Cleary. It's getting hard to hold.
You're damn straight, it's getting hard to hold. I mean, we don't ever see scores like that out of him. 40, he had the ankle complaint. And, you know, you got to – sometimes a 40 is okay. And in these positions like halfback and stuff and what he's worth, it's going to be a popular move for people to move him on. They are going to a bye, so you don't necessarily need to do it for next round. But people are going to be making moves next week to bring in players they do want for money. And he's going to be a piece that stands to lose a lot of money. It looks like he's going to have an enormous BE. So they do say never trade a gun, but it's a different story this year with buys, because having a 900K player or whatever on the bench in one of those buys is a tough hold as well. So it has been underwhelming, hasn't it? It's been a 50 and a 40.
Yeah, you're staring down the barrel of a 130 break even. And it feels like the scoring this year, you know, they're rewarding the centres with, you know, try assists compared to Cleary. So that's going to nerf his scoring a little bit as well. But the problem is there's no clear cut option to trade to. I think that's the issue people are finding. Like, never trade a gun, yes, but at the same time, like, you want to trade him because you want to avoid the massive price drop, but there's no one to move to. And we can touch on a couple of options moving forward, but yeah, Cleary, it's an odd one. The buy in round three and then coming back into things as hopefully it picks up for him, but, you know, it'll have to be one to monitor. Is Dylan Brown back to being an elite Supercoach option? Was there ever a doubt?
Not for me. He was somebody I really desire to have in my team. And when we looked at the draw, you and I did the review on them, and when their their season opens up with some comfortable games, and I'll be having him in the 5-8 position. You mean you saw Dewey looked a bit lethargic today and didn't have a great game. The Tigers look awful. Ponga looks like he's out. People will be eyeing off Munster and Dilbags. Dilbags is desirable, especially on the run of games they have coming up very shortly.
Yeah, he is. He looks, I wouldn't say looks back to his best, because I think it was a blip last week, but, you know, back to what we know he can do. And as we've touched on in the preseason, the Eels have a pretty good, you know, round 6 to 12, I want to say. So, yeah, he could definitely be a viable option. And, I mean, is there anything more that we have to say on Jermaine Hopgood? He's becoming an automatic captaincy option.
2.7% captained him this week. What a bunch of bloody legends. And it wasn't the worst idea because, you know, with what he scored last week, and it was no try. It was just all in grunt, you know, and work. It was, and he finished 120-something this week. How good. You have him in your team and you can captain him, I reckon. He's, at the moment, looking a safer option than your Murrays and your, you know, the other ones in there with the ceiling. Two times in a row.
Stud. Absolute stud.
Yeah.
The Sharks, man, I reckon the Sharks are going to be a very, very scary side when they get Nico Hines back.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this game, I kind of said the Sharks are going to be able to do it. I thought they were a bit pretenderish last year, but I think they've got a good coach. I really do, and I think he's instilling good qualities in them. You can just see those teams that are building on the quality. You know, they're not fickle underneath the surface, and you add Hines back into there, I reckon they're gonna be right there and about again, again this year.
Very,
I'm going to be willing to have some of them. I'm glad to see players like Talakai and even Sione Katoa had a low one this week. And if the price gets low enough, you can get yourself one of these bargain Sharks right for when Nico's back.
Yeah, 100%. I'm really looking. I told you in the preseason, I was keen on Talakai and Ronaldo. And then Hines was out, which tempered my expectations a little bit. But when he gets back, I'm overly keen. For the next point, mate, I've just put Reece Walsh with the love heart emoji eyes. I haven't really written too many notes here, but he looked really, really good. I really wish Adam Reynolds comes out and just says, you know what, I don't want a goal kick anymore. Would make things very, very nice, but Reece Walsh looked very, very good for his first hit out.
Yeah, he looked sensational. He looked that good in the trial as well, so we've seen two of them. He looked good at the Warriors, so you got to say that the Broncos and their pack, well, maybe the Warriors' pack's a little improved this year, but it's a much better team.
Oh, if you have Payne Haas and Pat Carrigan laying you a platform and you've got Adam Reynolds there to steer the ship, you're not gonna go too far astray.
Yeah, they've got so much X factor. They've got Cobos, you've got
Farmworth, Stags.
They've got enough people there that just if he's around the ball, there's things that are going to happen for him. He looked terrific. We'll go through what our trades are going to be, but I reckon he's now up.
Drinkwater
was never a good option for you in the fullback, and he's going to have a bit of a sit on the sidelines.
Someone did say that.
Yeah, if you're a drinky owner, maybe this is an option for you with some of the other ones that are going to lose money or go into a buy. So
I think so. I think that's a clear cut. And now the question is, if you're a Drinkwater and Tedesco owner, you're probably not going to be moving both of them on, but do you go Turbo with a hard draw because it's Turbo, or do you take Walsh? I think they're both similar prices. Walsh might be slightly cheaper.
Well, let me tell you Walsh's next games. St. George, Dolphins, West Tigers, Canberra, and Gold Coast. That's his upcoming games.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Manly have a pretty tough draw. So look, I don't hate the Walsh out over Turbo, but Walsh, you know, I want to get a second week look at him. But I think, you know, when we touch on trades, you're going all in. So
yeah.
Tedesco.
Well, you're selling Cleary as well, and you might find it hard to get him back in, but. You know, you sometimes you've got to just take these risks, and I reckon Walsh is a chance. I'm going to take an educated guess that he might outscore Teddy. He definitely will because he's got no buy. So if you take it out of there, the transaction hopefully works for Mats.
As a Tedesco owner, mate, I am very, very lucky to not have my fist put through my second monitor as I was watching the game on Saturday because, fuck me, it was frustrating. Felt like he left 50, 60 points out, and then that becomes a question. Like, do we talk about how poor Tedesco's been in the first two rounds when he has a 55 and 110. I don't think we do. So this game is a game of inches, but yeah, Suaalii bombed a try to Tedesco. He had one with Sam Walker where he punched to the inside and just dropped it cold. And yeah.
How funny was it when Sam Walker scored the try?
Oh, he was not happy. Sam Walker 100% captain Tedesco this week just based off his reaction.
Yeah. Oh, even just that would have made the difference, because I was tempted to go Grant just as a safety pick, and all those points that I just saw going down the gurgler, I was just like, this was a good move. It should have been a good move. Yeah. So look, it hasn't all landed. They're a bit clunky. I think they've bought Brown, haven't they? There from the
Nathan Brown.
Yeah. They need someone. They need some middles till their middles get
back. Oh, they're so depleted through the middle. But yeah, that's the thing. On another day, Tedesco has 110. Captain is rejoice. And you know, it's not an issue. I'm looking at a score of, you know, well over 1,000. So
he's gonna have a big B himself next week.
Yeah. It's tough with Teddy.
He's got a buy in round 4.
Yeah. Look, the buy round 4. Is the cutoff for me, but next week it's a toss up, and we'll talk about that. Neokora, he came good. Look, I know he had a very low score in round 1, but I think he had a try assist that went begging, and he had a try himself that went begging in round 1. So that's why, if I was an owner, I wouldn't be too panicked. I know the minutes weren't fantastic, and he did get a beneficial uptick because of Curran and Jackson Ford as well. But he came good. I think he had 80 there about points. And I've just written here, yeah, showed some promise last week, but he finally delivered. This week, I think it puts owners in a really weird spot, Ado, because I'm sure a lot of owners after round 1 were like, you know what, we're going to trade him after round 2. And yeah. Now they're like, oh, I'm kind of compelled to just hold.
Yeah, well, that's what you want him scoring, and there's no real urgency to sell him. I said last week, you know, Garner looked more like a sell, but I would even be inclined to maybe hold him because I was expecting a bounce back.
He's another one that could have had 120 points easily.
Yeah. So and he looked much better on field. He looked to be running, you know, more efficiently with Luai and how quick to get in position and stuff. So the signs were good, I think, for him. And if I had Neokora, I wouldn't sell, not after a score like he got last week. But people are going to be looking to make money, and who are you going to go down to there? Maybe one of those 200Kers if you need to. But, you know, while they're scoring points, I didn't see any reason to move him.
You're the Raiders man on this podcast. Joey Tarpany's minutes are looking worrying.
Well, it's not the only thing looking worrying, is it? That's why I'm here in the old better be a bloody shirt. I'm not wearing any. I've got the Raiders hat on. Mind you, you know, Tomoko gets bloody. He gets a penalty try last year. He put his hand on the back of.
Here we go.
Was it Mulitalo? Old mate pulling him off and hands all over him, and it's a try. Anyway, no. No, Tuppany worries me. Look, but people were worried about Tino. He bangs out a ton this week. I don't know. Who do you want to go to?
I don't know, because like Tom Starling's playing fucking 50 minutes in the middle, and it's just like, what's going on?
He was on as a lock. Yeah, it's crazy. Ricky Stewart. I mean, you couldn't pay me to have a Raider at the moment.
And then you're getting Josh Papali'i back, and it's just going to make things really awkward, I feel.
And Joe, you know, he said at the start of the season he doesn't want to drop off from what he did last year. He does not look as good as last year.
Yep. I'm not selling because I still think he punched out a 64 this week.
Yeah, I'm a little worried.
But it's not the 80s and 90s that we were getting at the back end of last year.
Yep, and they got the Sharks next week, so it's going to be a tough matchup as well.
Is there any value in Tom Starling? I mean, if he's going to be playing 50 minutes at lock, I'm tempted. I mean, Hooker's awful, so I am tempted.
You see the coach. The coach is an absolute crazy person.
Literally any other coach.
Yeah. I mean, it could be they could drop Starling, you know, next week. Who knows? I don't think they're going to keep playing him through the middle. Starling was okay coming on and running through the middle. I do not know why Ricky Stewart loves Danny Levi so much.
He just loves mediocre hookers. Melbourne, they capitulated, absolutely capitulated with that Munster. They looked dreadful. Eli Katoa was sort of a shining light. William Warbrick scored 40 without doing a whole lot. But the man that I want to talk about, and everyone's going to say they're chasing last week's points, blah, 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 bullshit. He scored 51 points in 70 minutes against a Manly side that absolutely wrist-holed them through the middle. And that's Jacob Carraz, 570K, I want to say. Had 80 points in base power, very, very similar with the 50 the week before in 70 minutes. this isn't chasing last week's points for Femiedo.
No, it's not. Because the guy has the attributes to score, you know, well, you know, even on weeks where he doesn't get tries. And that's what we're talking about. People like Miller, we like because he bumps tackles. We like Meany because he's going to get the goal kicking. Perez, he's a trier, and he doesn't hide in the corner.
As Blocker Roach would say, he's a footballer. This kid,
he's a footballer. That kid,
and they come back into the Tigers, the Warriors, and then the Cowboys, who don't look fantastic. So you know,
look with the 51, which drops out of the average first. That 145
that stays there for a while.
Yep, so he's going to go up nicely in money. I reckon what he's going to do in a short space of time, if you want to go straight to Garrick nice and early, you could with how much he's going to go.
Yeah, so Manly's, I think Manly's draw doesn't get good until like round 7, round 8. Yep. I honestly can see a world where you hold Karaz until round 8 and flip him straight to Garrick. They could definitely be similar in price because, yeah, I mean, he just looks really good.
A popular pick for next week, and I will not say to any, but that's not chasing. Isarko was chasing it because he has got these horrible low ones.
Hey, in saying that, Isarko did fuck all and got 48.
Yeah, he did. So, I mean, but I tell you, it's going to come.
So we're recording this at, it's currently 9:30 New South Wales time on Sunday night. He's at 1% ownership. Come Thursday next week, over under 6%.
Oh, Karaz.
I mean, he's nearly 600K, so it's a lot of money to invest.
Yeah, all right. Well, but I still think I'm going to say 10%. I reckon he's over 6 easy.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, whoever's
the top scorer from the previous round, especially
early days when everyone's still engaged. I mean, if I didn't have more fires to put out, I would 1,000% be jumping on him. But yeah, unfortunately, we have a couple of really shitty hooker holes to fill that we'll touch on. The next point is Stefano. He's done. I know he scored a try. I know he got 68 or whatever. As a starting option, he's done.
Yeah, that is why I can't get Karaz, because he is my front row two, and that's not gonna cut it.
He's fine as a front row three.
Yep,
but he can't be starting in your teams. I know he scored a try, but that's just putting wet paper over the cracks. I just had the red line through him, and he scored that bullshit try when the video bunker said he promotes the ball, but we'll still award it.
Yeah.
It
doesn't change my thinking. I'm not going to punt him.
He can't start.
Yeah, I can't start him. I've started him for 2 weeks and I've shit myself the whole game. And even today, I was just like, I'm not even going to crack 900 here. I was a chance lightly to get to 1,000 once he scored. But he's going to go where he belongs, into third. It's madness to have him in your second.
Look, Sunday was a really, really rough watch of footy. In the Titans-Dragons game, couple of points. Tyrell Sloan, his 70 looks great, but two tries, a try assist, and a line break, it's not fantastic. But for under 300K, you can't complain. Ben Murdoch-Masilla played 72 minutes and scored 35, which included the line break, which is not good. And there was one other player that I wanted to mention. Oh, Tanner Boyd. Fuck me. We were sitting here saying 55-60 average. I don't think you scored 60 points in the first two rounds.
No, it's not good, is it? Look, you get some wrong.
I think he's going to get hooked, to be honest.
Yeah, he's a good chance. Because he just... He looks... I mean, he's doing worse than he has historically done.
Yeah.
So, when he's had to go. So, oh, you know, I'm glad I dodged him. But, I went with the cheese. You've got both of them, so...
I think both my hookers combined for about 30 points this week.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about the cheese in the 10 things we learnt, but we will talk on him, trust me. Let's move into the host recap. Let's hope I've got the right... Nah, it's the wrong soundbite, whatever. The host recap, mate, I finished on 942. This is pre-updates, so I don't have our rank, but everyone that listens to this podcast follows us on our socials where we will post our rank. I was ranked 20,000th last week. I don't know where 940 sits. It seems kind of average. I don't think I'll go up or down too much. Whereas you got 956, you're kind of in the same boat. I think you'll hover around the same rank as well.
Yeah, I think if I can just hold steady, I'll accept that. you know, with a 4 and a 10 in there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you played Jackson Ford, didn't you?
I had Khan Pereira in week one, a couple of these tragedies, and I've still managed to, you know...
Oh, yes, he's who I want to talk on. Khan Pereira, he cannot start in your teams. He scored a try and still scored 35 points, something ridiculous. So he is just, he's not a play. I mean, thankfully you can't lose money. But yeah, you just, I don't think he can be a play at all. Let's move into your take, not mine, where you guys as the listeners, you need to pull your socks up because this week was shocking. All right. So Jesse B said Asako 80 plus and Lyle said Asako under 25. I think I said on this podcast exactly last week that... I think I said it'll be one of those two. But yeah, it was smack bang in the middle with a 48. Deadly said Ilias with a dominant performance with a ton and becomes a must-have property.
I want people that not to go early. I mean, look, I'm saying I'm going to do that on Walsh. But, Ilias, we've said he's got a low one in him and South have predominantly, well, almost exclusively attacked left. Let's just see them go right a little bit more and whether he's going to get the ball enough.
Yes, Deadly, that was a big whiff on your part, my friend. And Foster Film said, iPad with a try, 110 plus, another big whiff there.
Oh, man, 35 or something from iPad, and he costs an absolute mozza.
I mean, we'll get him at 400K at this, right? Yeah. So for this week, with the Your Take Not Mine. All right. Noah Buxton says, Teddy gets up for the derby and hits 120.
Wrong.
Are you just saying wrong because you're selling him?
Yeah. If he does. At least you're honest. Look, if he gets 120, I need Walsh to get 140.
Okay, that's balls. Look, I don't see 120 on the cards for Teddy, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like an 80-odd. I think you'll get around this one more from Justin McCall. Walsh with back-to-back tons.
Yeah, well, he looks electric.
Yeah, he looks so good, man. And the Broncos look good. And that's the thing. Normally, I wouldn't buy stock into Broncos. But, like, when you look at it, Haas and Carrigan laying the platform, Ezra Mann looks incredible. That speed, like, the 6-1 has to be one of the quickest combinations in the comp. And they're just burning. Well, they burnt the Cowboys, who are, you know, defensively are normally a pretty good side. So, they look really, really good.
In the run of games they've got, I reckon there's going to be some joy for... Yeah. Him.
Oh, there will be some stinkers with Walsh. He has that in his game. You just got to ride that when it comes. And BLY137, Hopgood, back to back to back tons.
Yep. Well, I'm not prepared to say that's not going to happen. I reckon it's a good shout.
I mean, the bloke's a machine. I'm very curious to see how he goes in round 5, which is when Maddow's back. Look, I still think he's a player. I still think he's going to average 60. I don't expect 100 when Maddow's back. But, yeah, man, he's so good. I think he has to score. I think there was this talk on Twitter today. I think he has to score 48 this week to have the record price rise. I think Talon May holds it from last year. I think Talon May went 180 or something like that. Hopgood, yeah, very close to breaking. I think he needs a 48 this week to break that record, which, fingers crossed, it's on the cards for the biggest price rise ever. And if he scores 80 again this week, he's going to have the 180 in his rolling average for a couple of weeks. Yeah. So he could go up to 550, 600 in a
bit of a crazy start to a year. We kind of... You know, knew what we anticipated what he could be, and he's.
Mate, I was thinking 65 is the best case scenario.
Yeah,
and he's just
he might playing. Actually he might eventually get down to that, but he started he started like the clappers.
100%. Buy, hold, and sell for this week is very interesting. I'm going to have a lot more sells than I do buys. The first one though is Bryce Cartwright. Now we faded Carty in the preseason because we thought his job security wasn't fantastic, but. I don't see him losing his spot straight away. I mean, Sean Lane's still out for a little bit, but I reckon we do get another 3 or 4 prize rises out of Cardi.
Yeah, he started well. He started financially well enough with the scores for it to be a good financial move.
I think he's a good play in his 17, to be honest.
Yeah, he racks up points pretty well. So I reckon you can... You definitely hold if you've got him. And if you were looking for someone to buy this week, you might want to take a punt on Schuster. But, I mean, he's He's coming back.
Oh, yeah, we have no idea about team lists, so we've got no idea if Schuster's back or not.
We don't know. He could be back. But, yeah, Cardi...
I'd still take Cardi over Schuster right now.
Yeah, there's some 230K options, and I reckon he's at the top echelon of ones you can go.
Well, we've got a cheap one on the cards right now.
Yeah, Preston, I've got him.
Yeah, I started with him too, and I was just sort of... I bought him knowing he was on the bench, but I spoke to a couple of Bulldogs fans that I know, and they all had massive raps on him that said he would eventually get the start. And look, he got the start this week in the back row and had a try, yes, but he still scored 85 or something, so that's still 50 points. You know, looked really good in that left hand, on that right hand side, 200K, absolute bottom dollar. And I've started with him, so I'm not buying him, but I think I'm going to be playing him next week.
Yeah, and I reckon that both of those two guys in there, probably even Preston, because he's completely bottom dollar, but they both seem to have a decent score in them for sure. And, you know, they both have job security worries, of course, but, you know, how do you lose if you go down to one of those guys at their price point?
You're not taking my advice here, but I'm going to list James Tedesco as a hold. Sure. I think he's a hold for one more week. You're going to lose money, but I've got too many fires to put out personally. I think a lot of people probably have a fair few fires to put out. So for me, Teddy's a hold. I'm assuming
he probably is logically. Yeah. He's logically a hold, but for me, who else am I? I want to sell someone that can make me money because I've got to get Butcher to Tohu.
Well, let's talk on Butcher because I haven't listed him in the run sheet here today, but do you think he's a hold? He did nothing, full of errors, and still
45. Yeah. Well, I prefer Tohu. I've got to get someone in the front row, so I'm going to have to sell someone. And in my second row with Murray, Hopgood, you know, Preston, you know, I've got other players in there that are doing better for me that I'm happy to hold, and I want to sell someone there so that I can get him. If I could have sold and got up to Tohu through Uitikamano, I would do that and just rely on the mugs on the bench that I have, but I can't quite get there. I'm 30K short. So, yeah, Butcher is on the chopping block, but if I didn't have to. See, that's the thing. You've got to sell sometimes players. I would like to hold Teddy for one more week, and then I'd probably make
it's a bigger picture. It's a bigger picture. You're not just selling Teddy for the sake of it. You're selling him to fund an upgrade elsewhere.
Yeah, well, that's right. I'm bringing in three strong names, and I'm getting rid of two dud names. And Butch is debatable whether he's a dud, but I just think 45s is nothing that's going to scare you.
Yeah,
I've got a problem in front row with Uitikamano being front row too. So, it is. Sometimes you've got to go early. I mean, some people would say, Cleary, you'd never sell Cleary. But he is going into a buy next week and he's about to lose a whole bunch of money. So I'm anticipating a week early on Teddy that he's going to lose a bunch of money and he's going into a buy. I'm doing it one week early.
T. Wilton didn't get the late junk this week. Didn't quite have the 50 base power that he had last week. I still think if you're holding T. Wilton, you hold him until Nico gets back and assess from there. If you started with him knowing that Nico was out, I still think you hold through. I mean, thanks to his 67 last week, you're not going to lose any cash. He's just only got upside for me.
Yep, I think it would have been a better move to wait for Nico. but you've got him now, and he's a good player, and he's only going to be better when Nico comes back.
Seen a lot of people very down on Val Holmes, rightfully so. We don't know what's happening Teamless Tuesday. He could get named at fullback, which is perfect. Could be named at centre, but I still think in the Cowboys' golden run, as people called it, the first two games were always the toughest. So he's a long-term hold for me. You bought him for a reason. I did fear about the Cowboys' second season syndrome, and it looks like that's the case. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not in a rush to sell Val. The Cowboys just need to click one game. They score five or six tries, and Val racks up 30 points in goal kicking.
Yeah, he's going to be one of the top sort of, you know, up there, I reckon, top five probably. And at the moment, he's scoring okay. So he doesn't sort of ever get a real horrible one. So like we say, you've got other things in your team to worry about. I mean, maybe people will get rid of a Toto or a Val this week to grab a Karaz, you know, and we say it's not chasing points, but they cost around the same, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, Val to Karaz is going to still net you close to 200K. But with Karaz, I'd much rather just upgrade than downgrade or go sideways for like a Toto. Oh, I told you all. Scott Drinkwater. Look, he's going to be out for a month. Even if he wasn't out for a month, he still sucks. And he is not a premium fullback option, so I feel very vindicated. But still, nevertheless, if you did buy him, unfortunate for you.
220 people bought him this week. 221 people bought him this week. He got 1 point.
Nice. Sucks to be you, I guess. But yes, in all seriousness, me trying to be not smug as possible, he is a sell. He's out for a month. Even if he wasn't out for a month, he would still be a sell. Not a whole lot more to say.
You skipped Brandon. Smith.
We'll get back to Brandon. I just wanted to get on my high horse for a minute until I'm until I'm pulled back crashing down to earth. Brandon Smith. Yeah.
Hasn't worked out. Really no. Well
for swallow your pride.
Yeah.
Fuck what? Oh, God damn it. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about Brandon Smith because it hasn't worked out. The Roosters do look better with him on the field. I think Jack Blythe on Twitter posted the Roosters are actually leading. The Roosters are down by 2 tries with him off the field, and they're up a try with him on the field. But still, Supercoach scoring, it's just not working. He's going to be injured this week, from all reports. And even if he wasn't injured, he's got the bye next week. It's just there's not really much more to say.
You get a bit of rough luck sometimes where the bounce of the ball doesn't go your way as far as Supercoach goes. It wasn't a bad move to bring Ponga in this week after what you saw last week and how unlucky. Sometimes it's just unlucky, and Smith getting, cleaned up by Kaufusi has, ruined his money making because that 10's going to hurt.
Yeah, he got wrist-sold by Kaufusi, and then he got wrist-sold again this week. Also, we have seen 2 of the best hits all season by the same bloke. Kaufusi absolutely wrist-rolling Brandon Smith last week, and then absolutely wrist-rolling fucking Hudson Young.
I mean, why was he doing all these cheap shots when he had this in his arsehole?
I know. Yeah, at Melbourne, he was just putting dog shots. Who knew that he was just an absolute weapon?
Yeah, he's a weapon.
Could you imagine Kaufusi and George Tafua on just the same edge? rip to any outside backs. But yeah, Brandon Smith, move him on. Last week, Ado, I made a poll. I made a little TikTok, and I said, if you own Isaac Thompson, I wouldn't be too stressed. I'm getting stressed. I'm not an owner, but if I was, I'd be getting very stressed.
Yeah, well, you've even got Hammer with back-to-back 70s. Yeah, there's tries in there, but there's people who are playing him for 70s, and Isaac with his 23, was it this week or something?
Yeah.
It's not going to... He could come good and start making money, but it hasn't been as good as we'd hoped in that little short stint of games we saw him in last time. I don't think he's going to lose his position, but it's the same reason I wasn't willing to move on Ilias before I saw it replicated, for a couple of weeks. And look, people are going to be culling, they're going to be culling the ones that haven't worked out. And I reckon he's got to be in there because the scores just haven't been there.
And one of the ones that haven't worked out is my preseason trap call. And it hasn't looked good for the first 2 weeks, and that is Matty B. He has looked shocking.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. The Dogs had a massive win, and he still, where I got him, he scored 17, didn't he?
Nice, and that's with the goal kicking. How good?
No, he scored 29.
Still, fucking hell.
Far out,
considering,
mate.
You get 4 points per goal, that ain't good. And you're in and you're the playmaker in the side that put up, 30 points, something like that? That's not ideal.
At the start of the game, he was saying on the interview he's got to run more, but he didn't go and do it, did he? So you just got to take one of them. That's why we like Dillbags and Munster, and we like Dewey. They just run a lot more.
Yes. Matt Burton, move him on.
Yeah.
Captain's Challenge, the best captain choices for this week, ranked in order. Number 1, this bloke screams a VC. And it's the returning Tom Trbojevic.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What do we think about Turbo? Because they play... Oh, I'm stalling for time here, but Manly play the first game of the round, if I am not mistaken, and they take on the Parramatta Eels, who just conceded a hat-trick to Will Kennedy.
Yeah.
What are we thinking with Turbo? Are you slapping the VC on him, or are you going to go more conservative with number two on the list, Jermaine Hopgood?
It's hard. I just kind of, you know, Hopgood, I haven't nailed it.
I've seen people on Twitter and stuff. Hopgood is not a vice-captaincy candidate. Like, you're never going to loop 100.
Well, but, you know, people did it this week, and it was the best captain you could have had this week for score, unless you had, I mean,
your AE. A couple of stinker AEs, so I don't know. Yeah, I just think if whenever you own Kaan Piera, you just don't loop unless he scores like 200, and that's why I'm going Turbo.
Yeah, because you don't just need a great score; you need a monster score. Mm-hmm. You need someone who's got these big daddy hundreds in them. So look, I don't mind Turbo.
I don't mind the Hopgood straight C, to be honest, but I wouldn't VC. I don't mind just straight C on a Thursday night. That's fine.
Yeah, like looking at my team with Cleary off, I feel like, you know, a Turbo has the ceiling. Maybe my new purchase of Reece Walsh, put a VC on him. I don't know. But I feel like if you're going to do it, Turbo is the, you know, the caliber of person who you go a VC on. But I haven't landed a VC or a C this year very well at all. So
either have I.
Turbo, but, you know, I've got a Teddy, you know, this weekend, and so I'm one for two.
Number three on my list is Harry Grant.
Yeah.
What's not much more to say with Harry Grant, is it?
No. Well, he looked awful and he still scored 76.
And dudded, quote unquote, dudded a try assist, which rightfully has not been given.
Yeah, a lot happened after that.
That's the thing. Like the Nelson Aspasolomona one, it's not a try. Like, look at it unbiasedly. It's not a try assist. He didn't assist anything.
I mean, they do, like, those ones where the dummy half sort of takes a step out.
Oh, yeah, look, if Grant engaged...
onto a barnstorming run where they're, like, 2 metres out, you know, that's more of it because they've laid it on a platter for the...
Yeah,
if Grant
engaged the A defender and then he sort of put Nelson through the hole, 100%, but he just sort of shoveled it to him and Nelson beat four blokes
ran
himself.
For a whole bunch of blokes, yeah. So, it's always dicey. I mean, look, in the past they might have given it occasionally, sometimes when you got one of those generous scorers in there, but unfortunately for those who were hoping for it, I think they made the right call.
I'm also a salty owner of a player that didn't get a try assist this week. Lachlan Miller has been absolutely fucking... dudded. Absolutely dudded. The next man on the list, and, you know, after I've said he's a hold, could double down with a bit of Val Holmes up against the Warriors up in North Queensland.
Yeah, well, if he goes to fullback, you know,
even at centre, I'm still pretty tempted. You know, the Cowboys.
I feel like Val is due for a big hundo.
He's due. And so are the Cowboys. And then number five, the most boring captaincy option of all time, but, you know, it might be the best play this week. It's Payne Haas. Just safe as houses. I mean, if you're looking for someone just to be uber consistent, the Dragons' middles looked up for it this week against the Titans, so it could be a little bit of a tussle to and fro in the middle, and Payne Haas, Pat Carrigan, name your player could benefit. But if you've got big balls, I want to see the orange armband up right around Reece Walsh's arm this week from Uedo.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be like, that guy is the loosest cowboy ever. Just brings him in, puts the straight C on him. You know, I might as well. I mean, I'm playing these guys and getting fours, you know. Time for me to get dangerous and get myself up in the top 5,000.
After our trade talk segment last week was very short and sweet and boring, we've got a bit to discuss this week, so let's jump into trade talk. After making no moves last week, the boost... it's been activated for round one, or round three for me. Boost number one has been activated for the Ramsey Rehabs. We have Nathan Cleary exiting. We have Egan Butcher exiting. We have Brandon Smith exiting. And coming in, Harry Grant, you know, we're going to bring him in. We're going to bring him in via Tanner Boyd.
We're a wizard, Harry.
Yes, we are going to bring in Bryce Cartwright, as we've said. We're also going to bring in another hooker. And the popular hooker option this week will no doubt be Wade Egan. However, I'm going with the Canterbury-Bankstown Bulldogs new icon, Reid Marnie. What do we think?
I like him. I reckon, you know, Cardi, we did say it's a good pick. You're getting two sort of, well, you got one absolute out and out gun. You know,
we've got Queensland's, we've got Queensland's best hooker coming in, and Harry Grant.
And Harry Grant, yeah. look, this is why I'm going Reed, because he is an 80-minute hooker. And in the past, we've seen good scoring, you know, over a block of time from him. Wade Egan scored a couple of tries, and he played 58 minutes this week. We've got people coming back in, like Jazz and stuff, into that team.
Also, do we back a hooker to score a try every week? No.
No. Yeah, so I'm just going to back the minutes, and it's not quite pedigree what we've seen out of Marnie
and
before.
I've also looked,
but we've seen some.
In all honesty, I'm probably going to be boosting again next week, and I don't want to be bringing in Wade Egan, because if you're bringing in Wade Egan, you're not bringing him in to be a season-long keeper. I don't necessarily want to be bringing him in, making a little bit of cash, and then taking him out again. Like, if I'm making two boosts in the first 4 weeks, I kind of want to just, like, fix up my errors. I don't really want to be getting too cheeky. Like, Reed Marnie, 80 minutes, 50 tackles a game, so there's 50 points. You know, I think he's running a bit more now at the Bulldogs, so there's probably another 5 to 10 points. And then the attack that he's got, the upside. So he looks like he's sort of sneaking around the ruck a little bit. Harry,
he may not be a slam dunk for good scores every week. You might get a 40 or 50 in there, but potentially with him playing 80, he could be, you could, if you've got a Harry Grant and he's your other one, you might be able to hold him for the rest of the year. You know, you don't have to go a Cook and Grant. We did it with Robson last year and it worked out for us. I just think Marnie playing 80, I think it's a safe enough, you know, gamble now whether he's had back, 70-70.
Okay, so before we touch on your trades, because you've also boosted, do you think a boost is a must this week?
I think it's smart. I kind of forecast at the start of the year when I think you should use it. And on the price changes, you can do 3 moves. So if you want to do and trade two players, sometimes you just fall a few dollars short. You can chuck a third person in there where you save that couple of $100,000 that you need. And that's why I'm selling Teddy, because I've got to fix up my front row. The three pieces that I'm bringing in.
Yeah, sorry, let's quickly move into your trades.
Yeah, so I'm out for me is going to be Teddy. I wanted to do it next week because I was going to say I can't hold that many Roosters. And, I mean, I could have held Teddy through that buy as well, but I think he's going to be up against a high BE. I think that'll be an advantage for me in round four, having two playable fullbacks. So Teddy's out and it's going to be Reece Walsh. Yes, we warned people off Ilias after a good score, but I just think Reece Walsh is an electric fullback. And I
think
I feel
it's different. I think the usage rates between Walsh and Teddy are vastly... Not Walsh and Ilias are vastly different. Walsh is going to touch the ball 4 times the amount of times Ilias will, and I think he's just going to have way more attacking chances.
Yeah, and I think he's in a good team that's on the build. So, and, you know, also looking at that run of games that they've got upcoming, I think he could have some joy. So it's a gamble that I'm willing to take. That's going to allow me to upgrade Butcher to Tohu via my duels, because I've been running with Utikamano at front row too. And
is that
it hasn't
be,
hurt me
is
yet.
That, is that via, you know? Is that via Murdoch Masilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to do it because, you know, I think it, I mean, we like Tohu, don't we? I mean, it could go one of these other ones, but I've loved what I've seen from Tohu. He's just rock solid.
I'm a huge Tohu fan. And then what are you doing with the stinky cheese?
The cheese is going to go to Marnie. I'm going to do the same as you. I would have gone Egan or Marnie when I was thinking about it.
I was looking at Blake Braley for a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could have gone down to Sonny Luke.
He's got to go down,
but I'm not going to go and add an extra pair to the list of ones that I'm sitting for next week as well. So, I think Marnie, I've liked what I've seen to start from him, and I'm really happy to be running out there with. Oh, because I'm kind of needing to reserve a hooker, you know, just for what they get 50 tackles or whatever. So, what cheese could have been? I'll just spend a little bit more, and I think we'll get that out of Marnie.
Yeah. I can't talk you off the Teddy to Walsh move, because barring a disaster this week, I will be doing the same thing. So, yeah, I can't talk you off that. Let's move into the pod questions. There we go. Still working out my soundboard. Dano99. Oh, also, this comes from my premium Discord. If you want to get amongst it, email me. thescwhisperer@gmail.com. Say you want to join the Discord, I'll give you the details. Don't DM me. I'm not going to see it. Email thescwhisperer@gmail.com. Dano99 says, do we like Jesse Arthurs as an option? Cheap and in the dominant Broncos edge. Also a good draw coming up. Jesse Arthurs is a 392K. This question could age like milk in the hot sun because we have not seen teams. Okay. Not even Jesse Arthurs. Ex-Broncos winger on the left edge with that golden draw coming up.
He's not played yet, though, has he, this year?
No, negative.
Yeah, so, I mean, are you gonna go Hammer, who's gone back-to-back 70s? I know that we've seen Hammer have a horrible floor on him, but surely there's some bet. You know, you go now where the money's there, because the Hammer, you know, he looks like he could go up and get a nice little...
Hammer has the Knights, the Broncos, which is a game I'm sure Wayne Bennett's going to be up for, the Dragons... And then the Cowboys, which again, they're also going to be up for. So they've got a pretty good month. And the Hammer just looks to be like he's popping up left, right, and center. So I think if you're going to be spending the money on Arthurs, I'd probably just rather punt on Hammer. Hammer's also going to have the really low break even as well. So he's going to make you a bit of cash over the next month.
And then even if it doesn't work out for you, you can go, at least I made some cash.
Exactly. Peter Hicko. That's giving me big Peter Hicko vibes.
Yeah. All right.
Jeff S. says, is Teddy a hold? Easily 100 plus if he holds that Walker pass and Swalley gives him the bloody ball. Yep. And this is what I'm saying. Like, if we sit here, because we were both Teddy captains this week, we sit here really smug being like, ha, 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 ha. Teddy scored 110. You all wrote him off. Do you then trade him out to Walsh? Be honest with yourself.
Well, no. If he turned up this week, there's no way I'd sell him.
Yeah.
But I'm getting rid of three... Chooks. You know, Roosters. So for me, my bad round's going to be round three where I hold all my Panthers, and round four I'm going to be in better shape than others would be because I'm going to get rid of some of them. I mean, people are going to be getting rid of some of them this week, I imagine, as well.
So basically on the surface of things, you would not have traded Teddy this week if you didn't have to. You're not doing
No, I wouldn't. See, I'm like you went into the season taking a punt on two cheap hookers, and you know that now you need Harry Grant. I went with the friggin' dirt cheap.
That's my advice. That's my advice to any of you young 18-year-olds out there. Don't go the cheap hookers. That's my two cents.
So yeah, look, I would, you know, in a perfect world, hold. If you've got other players that you can say, you got to move pieces sometimes. Because they're the ones you need to move to make the money work. You're moving Cleary because he's going to be up against a huge BE. He's got a buy. That makes sense. I'm going on Teddy because he's going to have probably a huge BE and a buy the round after. So it'll be a much stronger a feeling to do next week for people. But if he'd have scored well this week, I wouldn't have moved him. And if you don't need to, don't move him.
And that's the thing. It's a game of inches, isn't it? Because Teddy, that ball was clean. And Teddy drops it cold. And Suwali just... decided not to pass it to him. And there's another 35 points. And Teddy also, like, you know, he nearly broke the line three or four times with those kick returns. So it's a game of literally inches. And you just hit the nail on the head. If Teddy turns up, you don't sell him. So I think if you don't have to sell him, I wouldn't be rushing to do it. Because in a perfect world, you do get another look at Reece Walsh. You know, it is ballsy to jump on after 1 week. But in the perfect world, you do give another week. So yeah, I wouldn't be rushing to sell him if you didn't need to.
Yeah, it's not the, you know, sometimes you make these moves and you are trying to foresee the future and you know, you're taking a risk, mm-hmm. especially with these guys like Teddy who can hurt you.
Moving into our tips for the week, round one, we went 4-for-8. Round two, we both went 4-for-8 despite having different selections. Yeah. We're doing this sight unseen, so, you know, our tips may change come TLT. But straight away, the Seagulls versus the Eels. This is going to be a pretty good one to kick off Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Manly Seagulls. I reckon this is going to be a real good match. I think at home at Four Pines, I think they play all right there, don't they?
They do. And off the bye, bit freshen up. Eels are, you know, extra point, golden point loss in round one, then, you know, got battered against the Sharks. I could see, yeah, I'm going to take the Seagulls too. Tommy Turbo... resurgence. The Knights up against the Dolphins. Somehow, okay, the bookmakers had this game nearly dead even. The Knights are $2 and the Dolphins are $1.80.
Yeah.
Jesus. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Favorites after.
I'm taking the Dolphins.
I'm taking the Dolphins too.
To be 3-0. Fuck, who would have saw that?
Oh, mate. It's like things the dreams are made of. No one will ever question.
Are they your second? Are they your second? Are they your second favorite team?
No, because they just beat us.
Also, Tom Gilbert, low-key stud. I think he got like 71 points this week.
Yeah, because he got a free try that he didn't actually bloody get. His hands were all over him. I didn't think you could. When you're jostling, it's got to be shoulder to shoulder. You can't put your hands on him.
Why did I bring it? What a joke, mate.
Why
did I bring it? Anyway, Dolphins.
Yeah, I want to go Dolphins.
Up the fins. Roosters, Rabbitohs, game of the round.
Ooh, I'm going to say the Rabbitohs.
I'm also going to say the Rabbitohs. I just think the Roosters look fucking cooked.
Yeah, they can't catch a break when it comes to the injuries and all.
In saying that, when they're fully fit, their forward pack is going to be scary. They're going to have Lodge, they're going to have Rewea Hargraves, Collins, Brown, Radley, Crichton, Butcher, Tupanua.
South have been running with Moali in them, haven't they? Because they've had a few injuries.
Oh, we didn't talk on Shaq Mitchell. I think he's going to be a pretty popular purchase this week, but I was all for it. Then I realized how many players I've got coming back, and I was like, oh, I'm probably just going to skip it. I'm also going to go with the Bunnies. The Titans up against the Storm in the Gold Coast.
Oh, Munster's still going to be out?
Yes.
Everyone knows this already if we're releasing it then. I'm going to say Melbourne Storm, because I reckon they're going to get a hard week off, coach.
I was going to say, you're not saying the Titans. No, yes, the Storm bounce back. Cows and the Warriors in North Queensland.
I think the Cows are specials here.
As do I. They're my lock of the week. Broncos and the Dragons. I'm taking the Broncos to be 3-0.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Broncos, although they're a bit of a bogey team. I've been to a few games at Suncorp where the Dragons have come up and they've rolled them. And the Dragons looked okay today. They started a bit slow, but they got the job done. So I don't think it'll be that easy, but I'm going to say at home with the momentum of how they've started.
Francis Molo to make Payne Haas look like a park footy player. No, I'm going the Broncos. Oh, goodness me. The Bulldogs versus the Tigers. This could be a fucking 50-0 affair.
Yeah, I'm going the Dogs.
As am I. And the Raiders up against the Sharkies.
I'm going to tip the Sharks.
I will also tip the Sharks. Have we gone?
We beat the Sharks last year every time we played them, and they're a bit of a bunny side for us. We love them, but things are not all good at the old green machine.
No. Do you think Ricky Stewart is your coach at the end of round 27?
I reckon this. I don't think he's going to get sacked. I just reckon he might
step away.
Yeah, you might throw it away after this year, I reckon. Because I kind of think what I've seen, we might finish 12th or 13th, 14th even. So, and it doesn't say we can't warm up, but the attack does not look. He used to be a gun half. Like, why can't he coach a little bit of attack into the team? Mate, they look terrible in attack.
When the Tigers put 40 on you in the trials, then it's time for concern. Oh,
mate, I don't know. I'm starting to lose my love for Ricky Stewart, and I do. He's signed on that jersey back there, Stick. I love him. But things are not great in, and I'm not tipping the Canberra Raiders.
I reckon
if you come
round 20, 24, 25, if you guys are like 13th, then you just got to chuck Jared Croker a jersey and be like, look, play 300. We've got nothing to play for. Play your 300th and then just retire.
Oh, well, I mean, did you get a look at Sebastian Chris at fullback? Just bring Croker in to do that. You know, at least he can catch the ball.
Well, this has been a very unstructured round 3 preview. Like I said, we've recorded this one on Sunday night, so you know we're going into this round very much blind. I'm going to try and post all my content as usual, but we'll see how we go. Mate, thank you very much once again. Hopefully, you know, by the time this is released, this will be released on Tuesday night. Hopefully, we've seen some green arrows. Otherwise, hopefully, we've just plodded along. Because I think the trades that we've made should put us in good stead moving forward. I mean, I said that about my preseason team. I'm in fucking shambles.
I mean, yeah, you're like, oh, you know, these trades are great trades. You're like, well, why didn't you set your team up so that you'd already have those things? I knew it was a risk, you know, go with someone like Uche Chikamata when you're front row too. So we all go and make mistakes in our teams. And round 3 is just one of those fun rounds where you get to press the trade button.
Yeah, mate, you made a mistake starting with Stefano, and 7% of coaches made a mistake by not listening to me with Scott during quarter. So, hey, you live and you learn.
You live and learn. And, you know, activate that boost if you need to and fix up your stuff and try to, you know, start shooting yourself up that ladder.
Yes, yes. All right, so guys, that's been the round three preview. You know, knowing my luck, half this podcast is redundant because something's happened on Monday and teams are just a mess. But, you know, we'll see how we go. Hopefully you guys have understood. I'm going to be away for this week. But otherwise, we are back on deck Tuesday, 7:30 New South Wales time next week for the round four preview. But otherwise, you know,
enjoy your cruise, mate.
Mate, the floating RSL. I'll be living it up in Moreton Island. But otherwise, you know, you guys follow all of our socials. You know where you can find us for our regular content. Stay safe. Love you. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.